period. And that's what your New Testament is, okay? Where did I get that from? I got that from C.F. He used it in a sermon one time. And of course, I believe that, and I think that's exactly what the Bible does. Jesus lived in the Old Covenant. Jesus lived in the Old Testament. Galatians 4, he was born under the what? Law, okay? And he lived under the law, and he fulfilled it perfectly. And yet, at the same time that he was living under that law, the age of Moses, that age of Moses had reached a point where it was coming to an end, okay? And I want us to look at that the next few weeks, a couple of weeks on that, which is this. And then, anyway, I'll tell you what I want to do. And then I want to talk about what the transition was not. Listen, here's what I'm going to get into there the last week or two. We Christians, the Christian church, did not trade a Moses law system for a church law system. I'll just leave it at that, okay? But you hear me? And you Catholics and you Church of Christ and all of us, okay? We're taught these things because we don't know what to do with verses, knowing that those verses are in a transition period, Thomas. They still are dealing with a people who are transitioning. Therefore, those people, they got to still be good Jews. Was Paul a good Jew? Up until they chopped his head off, he's going to Jerusalem. Okay? Was he a good Christian? Well, he's just a Christian, okay? He was both. And so you see what he did. You don't have to do that stuff that Jews did because a Jew did it. Anyway, that's what we're going to finish with. And I'm not telling you I know the answers. I'm telling you that's what I wrestle with. When people say we will all stand before the throne of God and we will give an answer for every idle word, thought, and deed. True? False? Okay, well, I'm just saying, that's all I was taught. That's all you were taught. Every idle word. And that's in the New Testament somewhere. I can't think right now. Okay, so, but before we get there, here's what I want to do here is I want us to look at Israel in the transition, okay? As far as I'm going to go, but this is so revealing to me, pun on the book called Revelation. So here's the title, Israel Type to Israel Real. Okay, the Israel type, what do you think I mean by that? What, when you think of Israel as a type of something, what comes to your mind?
Their temple was a type of the real one in heaven.
Yes, yes.
The people.
People were of real, obedient, and those would be spirit beings in heaven, but they're started with a people on earth. He was called Adam.
As a group, they're a type of the kingdom.
Yes. And yes, they were the kingdom. Yes, no, right. Which is a type of the real one. Garrett made us understand that when God said, hey, he was going to take this away from the sons of the kingdom, we'll be thrown out and they'll be new, okay? Well, some of them are the same, which we're going to see, okay? They became spiritual sons, spiritual heirs, full of faith of Jesus. You know what I mean? So that's it, okay? You had the Israel as a type, and it included all of these things. To the Israel of the real, which is the spiritual Israel, which is the church. You ever heard people say that you are a proponent of replacement theology? And they use that denigratingly or pejoratively. You believe in, do you believe in replacement theology? And usually it's a dispy, a futurist who says, and why are they worried about that? Because Israel's back. Didn't you know? Ain't you heard of 1948? Israel's back. And God still has them as his people. No. No, he doesn't. He had them as his people during the transition period. And during the transition period, who were the first Christians? Jews to Israel. Jesus was the first of New Israel when he rose and conquered the death, okay? And then he got some more, mostly Jews with him, but we don't know what all the apostles were. Then it goes on. We see that in the book, okay? So that's the real one. It's a spiritual deal. We ain't going backwards to physical or natural. 1 Corinthians 15, the natural is first, then the spiritual, and ain't no going back. It doesn't say that, but it implies that. So here's what I want you to see. So we have Israel as the old covenant, mostly, but not solely, ethnic. What do I mean by that? To be a member of Israel, who was your daddy?
Abraham.
Not Abraham. That's too wide. Can you break it down after Abraham for me?
Joseph?
Nope.
Jacob?
Nope. There's one in between. Can you be of Ishmael? Was Ishmael a son of Abraham?
Yes.
Yes, first son. But the promise didn't come through Ishmael. The promise was through
Isaac.
Okay. Sticking on you because I know you know it. Abraham, Isaac, then Jacob, changed his name to Israel, and then you got 12. Yes? Is that what I mean? Yes, is what I mean. 12 tribes, all the way. Reuben, all the way to Benjamin, 12 tribes. Okay? So that's Old Covenant. But was it solely ethnic? No, when they came out of Egypt after 400 years and all that, who else came with them?
A multitude.
Yes. Mixed multitude, okay? Other people wanted to come too, and you have stories all through the Old Covenant that there are others. Jesus uses those examples when he does his first sermon after 40 days in the desert and comes, and Nazareth says, hey, you've heard this, and they blah, blah, blah. And he talks about two Gentiles that got saved back in the Old Covenant. What do they want to do to him when he talks about those two Gentiles? Want to throw him off the cliff. Okay. And Israel knew covenant, and I just write the word spiritual. You do what you want with it. I just don't know. But there is a new Israel. And if you'll keep in your mind, what I try to keep in my mind is that who is true Israel? It's just one person. And that's Jesus. Jesus is Israel. So if you're in Him, you're part of that. Okay? But there was a process to this. It's great. That's why I love this John stuff that C.S. been pushing the last couple of weeks. I told him again this morning. I said, dude, okay, where are you getting it? I don't know, but keep it on, you know. And what I got in yellow here is we're going to look. I want you to see. Nothing happens in the universe, in the cosmos by accident. And these prophesied warnings, and then I want to show you the fulfillment of when they happened. That's in the transition period. By the time that you get to the end of the transition period and Moses' age is done, things have all been, all prophecy was fulfilled, okay? Daniel was told in Daniel 9 that one of the six things that would happen is that prophecy will be, it will cease, okay? Prophecy will cease. Prophecy will be, it means it'll be fulfilled. It doesn't mean, you know, and Jesus sent some prophets, you know. He said, I'll send you wise men and prophets, and you're going to kill some of them too. You know what I mean? So they didn't end. In fact, was Paul a prophet? You could say yes. Was John a prophet? Absolutely. Whoever John was, Eleazar, John, or whatever, they were prophets. Okay. Anyway, so we're going to see warnings and fulfillment. This, to me, blew my mind whenever I started understanding this and everything. So here's what I want to do. I want to go to, first, before we go, let's go to Leviticus, but I want you to understand the five books of Moses, okay? Pentateuch, some people call it the Torah, okay? Five books, and those books were, of course, foundational, okay, to Israel. And in both of those books, Leviticus, which mostly talks about the holiness code, how you approach God, how to be a good priest, why is that important to us? Because we am that. We are priests, okay? We're a kingdom of priests, okay? And so that's important. But there, we're going to see warnings. Go to Leviticus 26. And if you don't know in your mind about Deuteronomy 28 through 32, we're going to look at that this morning. But both of those places you should have in your mind about that being blessings and curses. Blessings and curses. Blessings and curses. You've heard C.F. say, I think rightly so, that covenant with Moses was a conditional covenant or a two-party covenant. What does he mean? What do you think? And do you think that's right? Anybody? The Moses covenant, okay, unlike the Abrahamic covenant, but the Moses covenant was a two-party, bilateral. I was trying to get the word. Thank you. Bilateral covenant. What does it mean to you? What do you think?
There are two parties made the agreement.
Two parties. And so they both have roles to play?
Yes.
Yeah. Compared to Abraham's covenant, what role did Abraham play while God made that covenant and walked through there?
He was asleep.
Sleep. He was dead. Think of it, him being dead. Okay, that's the picture. But yeah, Moses and his people. Anyway, you could discuss that and decide that. But anyway, it's something to think about. And so what we're going to see here in Leviticus 26 is a similar to Deuteronomy 28. What happened here? Okay, I don't know. Okay, all right. And what you're going to see here in Leviticus 26 is that you're going to have blessings, you're going to have curses. And if you don't repent whenever you get away from me, then I'm going to do something. Now, is that okay if you got a Bible, if you got a work covenant and you go to work and get paid? That's okay. What if you don't go to work? Should you still get paid?
No.
No. Okay. Very good. She's old school. Very good. Okay, so look, let's look. I want you to read from one, somebody read from 1 down to 13. Not much. It's in form. So we're in Leviticus 26 and start at 1 to 13. Listen to these blessings. Somebody?
You shall not make for yourselves idols, nor shall you set up for yourselves an image or a pillar, nor shall you place a figured stone in your land to bow down before it, to bow down to it. For I am Yahweh your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am Yahweh.
Okay, here you go.
If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I shall give you rains in their season, so that the land will yield its produce, and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. Indeed, your threshing will last for you until grape gathering, and grape gathering will last until sowing time. You will thus eat your food to the full and live securely in your land. I shall also grant peace in the land, so that you may lie down with no one making you tremble. I shall also eliminate harmful beasts from the land. No sword will pass through your land. But you will chase your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. 5 of you will chase 100, 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall before you by the sword. So I will turn toward you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. And you will eat the old supply and clear out the old because of the new. Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am Yahweh your God, brought you out of the land of Egypt, so that you should not be their slaves, and I broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect.
Walk erect, okay? How many of you have walk erect or walk upright? Is that a science question? Is that a science deal? No. That means walk equal with me, okay? But, I mean, you know. All right, so look, the last few verses there, that's what you're after, folks, okay? That's what you're after. Verse 11. I will set my, anybody got a different word? My what among you?
Tabernacle.
There? I mean, my dwelling place. What did Jesus do? He came and dwelt among us, is what John said. Okay? My soul shall not abhor you. I'm not going to be your enemy no more. Okay? This is the peace we get. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. All through the rest of the old covenant, that's the main thing to promise. He will be our God, and we will be his people, okay? That's the relationship. I am Yahweh, brought you out of Egypt, and so forth, okay? But before then, what about those what about those other blessings? Is it important that you get rain in the world?
If you want to eat.
If you want to eat. Yeah, about do anything. You know, the sword won't go through your land. You won't be, you know, I'll rid the land of evil beasts. Whether you think that's really lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. Or you think it's non-humanized others that are going to act like beasts. We got any of those in our land anymore? Look around, okay? Whatever you believe, I mean, this is what it says. I mean, you know, and God would protect them. So there you go. That's what he would do positively. Same we'll see in Deuteronomy 28, okay? It's a warning. Here's what I'm going to give you just for being my people. And he started out with commandment number one. Up in verse number one, what has he said? He said, no carved images. I am Yahweh your God. And then number two, no carved images. CF was in Romans 1 this morning. I don't think that's talking to man. I really have changed my view on Romans 1 that it doesn't talk that about general revelation to general man, because when a man stands beside the Grand Canyon, as that verse sometimes is used, and he looks out there, does he say, oh yeah, God did this? I don't think so. Anymore. Now, I could change again because I ain't dogmatic on that, but I'm just telling you, I don't think anybody gives God credit whenever they don't have God. Now we teach that, and that's normal Reformed teaching, 15, 17 on. And so I ain't bucking that. I'm just saying, I'm not sure any man gets revelation unless God puts it in there. And I think that's what this book was about, not before matter was. I think it's before what matters was, okay, which is the light. When he said, let there be light, he says, I'm going to show you myself now. I'm going to show you myself and this plan I got for humanity.
Just the absolute depravity of man. If you love sin, you're not going to see God anywhere.
That's Romans 1. See? So I don't know where you stand, if that's where you are too. I think Paul's writing to a mixed audience. He starts off with Gentiles, but it ain't no doubt when he gets right down there to the end of one and the beginning of chapter two of Romans, he says, who are you, a Jew? He's talking to Jews too. What do you think? Yeah, but listen, depravity, we say depravity, but we don't really believe how deep it is, I think. Come here.
Well, you know, last week or the week before, whenever you went, maybe a couple weeks ago, when you talked about what is their glory, was it?
Yes.
And that passage says they exchange their glory. Yes. That's Psalm 106. They exchange, yes. They.
Yes.
Israel exchange their,
yes,
glory.
Yes.
For, you know, oxen.
Yes. Yes.
Otherwise, you go the other way and you're forced to at least contend with the possibility that, okay, they all had his glory.
All mankind or all inhabitants of the earth all had his glory some way. Well, then you'd have to, well, then you get into an argument about, oh, we're all made in his image and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But exactly. So we struggle with that on our Wednesday morning, and I don't know. I'm just telling you, it makes sense. And it is an indictment against Israel more so than against generally revealed to mankind. And that's what we're talking about here. That's why it's on my mind whenever Steve goes. I'm thinking, I don't know. That transition period, Israel was the one that had apostatized so badly that he's about to wipe them out. So bad.
Well, weren't the only ones who could apostatize?
That's what Garrett's saying. Who had the glory?
Yeah, oh, they're the only ones who could. Okay.
Yeah, when you say, what is the glory? Well, the glory is the covenant with Yahweh, the relationship. Okay? This morning, when C.F. said in John 1, when he says he was with God, and that word, the Greek word is pros or pros, P-R-O-S. You know what comes from that? Prosopone. What does that mean? That means this big old thing. That means that Jesus was how we are now. Jesus was that close to God. It says he was before God. He was that with God. How can I be that close to her? And I ask her, does that make you uncomfortable? She says, no. Okay, that's what it means when Jesus was with God. Different, but right there, okay? Whatever words were used this morning, he said he's the full expression of God. I scratched that. I said, no, he's God.
I would say there's a difference between having a, maybe like a cognitive, you kind of know that there's a being, right? And then having that relationship. And I think that's what the reformers mean when they say that there's a general revelation that most people, and I heard a kid the other day in the locker room said, oh yeah, I think there's a God and, yeah, and whatever. And,
yes.
But there's a, that people may know in their minds, but they're not known by God.
Amen.
In that relationship.
Amen.
With Christ.
Amen.
Because,
yes,
of their depravity and sin. They,
yes,
do like Mr. Hazelwood said, they,
yes,
you know, kind of flip the bird and, you know,
to God.
God and make stuff up about it.
Yes.
And we have his character revealed.
This is an excellent, thank you for that. That's where I was and still kind of am, but I'm asking myself these other questions because that is the normal teaching about general revelation, is that all men, they know, they can stand in that Grand Canyon, they look at stars, they know something did that, and yet what you said is what Paul says, but they do what with that truth?
Suppress
the truth in unrighteousness.
And I think one of the,
yes,
things, it's like, and maybe this is from a writing by Martin Luther, but he talks about Nero being in terror of the lightning, you know, there's a storm happening around his palace, and he goes, so why would Nero, the emperor of Rome, be in terror of a storm?
Yeah, right.
He,
yes,
he knows there's a God. And
yes, yes.
His depravity is in,
yes,
conflict.
Yes, yes. So, hey, this is great. This is why you have discussions, and those are the main views that are out there, and that is the majority view, which I held it, hold it maybe, or I'm asking myself to. Yes?
The first time Israel apostatized was when they were waiting for the word to come down.
Yes. Yes.
God and beast worship already.
Yes.
The whole generation. And
yes.
They were put to death in the wilderness for 40 years.
Yeah.
But then the more real apostasy was after 1,000 years, and they had known all of this. And,
yes.
And had, they had the Ten Commandments. They had the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes.
They had it, the nation.
Yes.
They were in the land.
Yes.
And that was more real apostasy.
Yes. Well, what we're talking about here is the ultimate apostasy, because God had not just revealed himself on a mountain, in the clouds, in a manifestation, but no, he had come, walked among them.
Of course, a good existentialist, Camus, and I can't remember the other one, they would say if you look at nature, it's obvious there is no God, that this is it.
Yes. That's what I mean. So why do we give credit? We give credit to every person that says they know. But they suppress it. Or we say, God hadn't revealed himself at all. So, I don't know. That's a sidebar. Okay, so let's look at the bad. Here's what I want you to see, okay? I want you to see that back here in Leviticus, they are not in the land yet. They ain't even left Sinai yet. They ain't started on what they don't know to be a 40-year journey. They think it's going to be a 3-day journey. They're going to go into the promised land, right? Okay, but here's what he's going to say. And if you will not repent, I will punish you 7 times. If not, 7 times more. Do you see on the left? If not, 7 times more. If not, 7 times more. That's what we're about to read. And I just want you to keep in your mind, in Revelation, what series of sevens do you have? And if you ain't looking there, I bet you can name 3, but I bet you can't name the 4th. What's the first thing of sevens that they open? 7 seals. After that, the 7... No, that's last. 7 trumpets, okay? 7 thunders. Most people leave it out. And all John says, then I heard the voice of the 7 thunders, and they said, and a voice said, don't write that down. Okay, cool. Let's go on, you know? Then you got 7 bowls. I don't know why. Maybe this is why. I don't know. But it's 4 times in Revelation, the 7 things. Remember, the 7 things is within the context of the day of Yahweh. I am knocking you out. And I am saving you. Yes? I'm saving you, a remnant, and I'm knocking the rest of you out. Okay, so let's go where the bad stuff starts. Verse 14. But if you do not obey me and don't observe all these, if you despise my statutes, which they did, or if your life so abhors my judgments, which they did, so that you don't perform and you break my covenant, I will also do this to you. This ain't good. Okay, so I don't want to read the whole thing, but if you ought to, here's one right here in verse 16. I will appoint terror. You shall sow your seed in vain. I will set my blank against you. What do you have? You got that? I set my face against you. In the Septuagint, let me tell you what that word's going to be. Prosopon. It always is. Face to face is nose to nose. That's as close as you can get to God. Think of that as your relationship today through Jesus. That's how close to you. Is there any sin barrier? No. Is there any veil between you and God? No. Positionally. Okay? I know we got this flesh deal wrapper we're in. I don't know what we're going to really get when we get there. But you know what I mean? But that's what this is going to be. My face is against you. When God's face is against you, it's bad. Whoa.
I am undone.
Yeah, I am undone. Very good. Okay, so the first time you see it is verse number 18. And after all this, if you do not obey me, then tell me what you got.
I will punish you 7 times.
More for your sins. Okay? So I'm going to punish you 7 times more for your sins. I'll break the pride of your power. I'll make heavens like iron. I mean, no rain. Your earth like bronze. No plowing. You're going to be bad. Then verse 21. Somebody read that. There you go. That's 2 times, okay? Verse 22, I'll send wild beasts among you, and whatever you believe those to be, there's bad. And then if you in 23, if these things, you're not reformed by me, but walk contrary. Somebody read 24.
Then I will act with hostility against you, and I, even I, will strike you 7 times for your sins.
Third 7. And then... Okay, you could read this yourself, but verse 27, 28, after all this, if you don't obey me, walk contrary to me, 28, then I will also walk contrary to you in fury. Look, Revelation has the most disgusting, heightened type of fury from the heavens to the land. I didn't say earth, you're right, to the land that you're going to see. And these are the words. If you got the Septuagint of Leviticus and got the Greek of Revelation, these are the same words. These are the same words. And 28b, and I, even I love, well, I hate that, but I love, look, this is emphasis that God says, I, even I, will chastise you, chasten you 7 times for your sins. And I'll just throw it out now as a foreshadowing, a negative foreshadowing in verse number 29. What have you got? Somebody read that. 29. Yuck. Who's got it?
You shall eat the flesh of your sons, and you shall eat the flesh of your daughters.
That's it. No, that's it. What does that mean? You're going to eat your children. Literally? Yeah, literally. And I got, you got examples. Okay, it happened when they went in the Assyrians. It happened when they were besieged by the Babylonians. Happened when they were under siege by the Romans. And I got the story for you out of Josephus. It's terrible. Okay, so what do you think? You think this is just a coincidence? Or do you think that there is something to do with Revelation? I don't want to go look up all those bowls and trumpets. Go ahead.
I mean, it's an interesting phrase in the New Testament when it says Christ sets his face like flint towards Jerusalem. So that's the God-man setting his face towards Jerusalem in opposition. You know, that your days are numbered. It's
bad news, you think?
Yeah, bad news.
Look, here's what Thomas is saying. Thank you, sir. Luke 9:20. Luke 9:20. Jesus brings a prophet's covenant lawsuit versus who? Old Covenant Israel. If you ever, you should always read the parables with the understanding that they are part of a prophetic lawsuit against an enemy of God. Who is that? That's Old Covenant Israel. They had apostatized so badly, there's no redeeming them. Who gets redeemed is the remnant, which we're going to see who the redeemed are. But thank you. See, he's right on. And he quoted out of the King James because it says it that way. He set his face like flint, it says, towards Jerusalem.
And the Pharisees knew who he was talking against. I know particularly against after the one with the people in charge of the vineyard.
Matthew 21.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they knew he was speaking against them, so they started to shuffle out.
That's it. Jesus asked him, when we look at that, he's going to say, what will he do to those wicked tenants? And they said, well, hey, he's going to bring his armies and he's going to kill them and burn their city.
Ding, 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 ding.
Uh-oh, ding, ding, ding. And then they say, it says they knew he had spoken against them.
So from time to time, they do have the revelation.
There you go.
Their sin.
Amen.
Just overpowers.
I sure didn't change him. They're still going to kill him.
Wins
out. So anyway, that is just such a good fit. This isn't going to happen in the future. Jesus ain't coming back to walk among men again. You know what man would do to him?
Kill him again.
Whatever he allowed them to do, which if he allowed it again, they'd hang him on. They might give him a lethal injection. It'd be nice, you know, but no, listen. Only because God knows you that you recognize God, you know, that kind of thing. Okay, so there's the point. Nobody goes here. Nobody goes here. But let's go to Deuteronomy 28, and we're gonna do that one, okay? Because Deuteronomy 28 is where it begins. Anybody got a comment? You just speak out, but I just want you to see this. These are foundational, okay? You've got to understand these. You need to have Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 to 32 in your mind. I don't have the verse up there. It's all of 28, and I'm just going to mention it as we go from 28 to 32. But you need to have those in your mind because for the rest of Israel's existence until 70 AD, this is in their background. This is Moses told them this before they ever got through the Jordan. Miraculously, he said, let me tell you what you're going to do. It's going to be bad. But 28, we're not going to read 28, but in 28, if you don't have it marked, you can go from 1 down to 14. Okay? 1 to 14. We're not going to read that, but read verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to observe carefully all his commandments. You ever heard that? How about Leviticus 26? Which I command you today, that Yahweh your God will set you high above all the nations of the land. Eretz could mean wider than land. And these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. Do some people believe that today? Sure, if you're a futurist of just about any kind, you believe they are still God's people. God is still saying if they're going to diligently obey Him. How much does Israel diligently obey Yahweh Jesus today? Zip. Thank you very much. Worse than zip, because they will persecute you if you... We used to have friends from Covenant. They'd go over there and we supported them, but they had to be right across the border in Syria. They ain't in Israel. They just went over there to do what they could.
Well, they don't even believe in the Trinity, the God that we believe
Absolutely. Absolutely. They quit believing that, or they quit espousing that. All that. So, I mean, you know, that's the deal is that, okay, I mean, you know, Israel is not God's people. Spiritual Israel is His people. Rightly defined, Israel is His people, and that started in your New Testament. Paul gives you the definition. And you are not being blasphemous to say that Judaism today is a false religion. If they say they believe in Yahweh, they don't. They want to use His name. They hardly won't say God. They put G_D. They don't believe in the God. They are equal with Islam. They are equal with Muhammad. Anybody that's over there that at the risk of being anti-Semitic, which is a wrongly defined term, look, if they got some wise guy who's ahead of a bunch of people, he's a false prophet, no better than Joseph Smith or anybody else. Same. It's a false religion, and you'll get thrown out of some churches for telling the truth about that. You will. But God's people is Israel, properly defined. Start with Jesus. There's your definition. Okay, so that was verse 1. Go down to verse 14. Go ahead. Yes.
Is it in Genesis? Sorry about the scepter of Judah will not depart from Israel until the...
Shiloh comes.
Until the seed.
Go ahead.
Which is, I mean, Christ, right?
Yes.
The son of Abraham.
Yes.
And so since Christ has come, either He's holding the scepter and is in charge, or I guess it's just gone. Because it's not with Judah, but departed from Judah.
Genesis 49. Could be 50, but Jacob is blessing his children, calls them all one by one. Good for you, here's what's coming, bad for you, kind of good. Judah, the scepter will not depart from you until Shiloh comes. Shiloh being in peace. There's different variations of what it means to Shiloh come. Did Shiloh come yet? Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And so the scepter would then depart from a physical Judah. Did that scepter stay with Judah all the way till Jesus? It did. It did. It went through David.
God promised it would.
And He did. And some people say, well, He ain't done yet. Listen, it don't matter if I see it. It just ended with Jesus. You can believe that. I need to stop. Don't say, well, I never saw that, so it must not be true. That's not a good deal. Okay, so thank you. Excellent. All right, verse 14, there it is. You shall not turn aside from any of the words I command you this day to the right or the left to go after any other gods and serve them, but, you see the big Moses but there? It's you, it shall come to pass. If you do not obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim to observe carefully all these and the statute I command you today, all these curses will come upon you. We had 14 verses of blessings. How many verses left for curses? Well, you don't have to do the math, but, you know.
A bunch.
A lot more. You can see it's a lot more. Very good. Very good. Look, I'll just point out some good ones to you. 52. They'll besiege you at all your gates till your high and fortified walls in which you trust. You don't trust in Yahweh, you trust in your wall. They'll besiege your gates throughout your land. 53, you shall eat the blank of your own body. What do you got? What do you got?
Offspring.
Fruit or offspring. Same thing in Leviticus 26. You will eat the offspring of your own body, the flesh of your sons and daughters, whom Yahweh your Elohim has given you, in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you. Sound like the Roman siege of Jerusalem? If you hadn't read Josephus, you ought to read it. It's like looking at Scripture being fulfilled. He was a Jew. He was a priest. He was a general. He was a turncoat. All those things gave him a view that put history down for us. You could lay it side by side with your Scriptures like this and you will say, wow.
But even he didn't believe.
No, he did not believe. But he did say that nobody could have taken this fortress and defeated this city. Titus was a nothing, he said, except their own God had turned against them and had brought this desolation on them. Well, that's true. Who's doing this? Nobody does it except Yahweh. That's it. Okay? And then what about this? Look at the last verse, 68. And Yahweh will take you back to Egypt in ships. the way which I said to you, you'll never see that again. Well, how come if God says to never do it again, he says, well, we're just going to do it. It just means it wouldn't be done olam. That doesn't mean never, ever, ever. It means until the time. You know what Titus did with all the, you know, they killed, they took about, they killed a million one, he says, but they took a lot of slaves. What did they send them? Egypt, Corinth, Rome, Ephesus. They go fight in the Colosseums. They do, you know, in the amphitheaters, all that stuff. That's what he did. He did that to them. And look at this. And there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves. Oh, but what? There's so many of you.
They're so worthless.
They're so worthless.
Nobody would pay you for them.
I ain't paying nothing. I'll give you a buck. Is this bad? It's bad. Did this happen? It happened. All right. To finish up today, just turn over to Deuteronomy 31. And we don't have much time, but let me just intro this. 31, verse 24. Well, go up to 40. 31, verse number 18. 18. And I will surely hide my face in that day. What day? The day of Yahweh, the ultimate one, because of all the evil which they have done, they turn to other gods. Okay, drop down to verse number towards the end of 31. Here's setting the context. 29, Moses says, For I know that after my death you will become utterly corrupt, read apostate, beyond redemption, and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the... What day? What do you got? What do you got? Evil will befall you in the what? Latter days. It's called the latter days of Israel. That's what he's meaning, okay? Because you will do evil in the sight of Yahweh, provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song. He made it into a song. Why? Because you can remember a song. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. They knew this song, okay? Pass it down from ever. And who does he say this is to? Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Heaven and earth. Heaven and earth, most many of the times, means who? Not the physical cosmos and matter. It means Israel, right now being created by Yahweh. That's the cosmos that's important. It's the Mosaic cosmos. So this is what I'm showing you, okay? And you know, here's the ones. I didn't read them all, but he would wet his sword against them. Here's one that I think we ought to think about. Verse 41 there. I will wet my sword. I will render vengeance to my enemies. That's you. I will repay those who hate me. That's you. I shall devour flesh. Does that mean just chop somebody's head off? Or does he devour flesh in a flesh thing, you know, and to bring in the spiritual? I don't know. He will avenge the blood of his servants. He will have vengeance on his adversaries. You know, they were not supposed to seek vengeance, because vengeance is mine, says the Lord, against my enemies. And that's it. The last verse of 42. Is it 42? Yeah. It's 43. Why did I write 42? It's 43. Deuteronomy 32, 42. How does it end? How does that song end? How does a song end? What do you got? Rejoice, O who? Rejoice, O nations. Rejoice, O Gentiles. Do you have the with in there? I scratched it out, but it's okay either way. But rejoice, O Gentiles, his people. For he will avenge the blood of his servants. He will render vengeance to his adversaries, provide atonement for his land and his people. That's his real people. That's his real land. The one you live in, the one I live in, the one they were transitioning into. That was the deal. Okay, well, that's enough. I'd rather have comments, okay? Anybody got a comment? Do you see what I'm trying to show you? Israel was for planned obsolescence, okay? They were intended to go away. They were intended to bring the Messiah, to bring a new Israel. The 10 tribes went away 700 years before. The two tribes went away 500 years before, but did they go fully away? No. He said, hey, I got to keep you because you're so faithful now. You've learned your lesson. No. They were worse than her sister. They were worse of a harlot. All that. Okay. So I hope that gives you a big picture. Big picture of what's going on and where everything fits in there, you know. And we're gonna finish this by going to where Thomas has just great job to introduce us to when Jesus is talking. You don't think these people are catching what he's pitching? They're catching it. It's bad. But we would have done the same. We would have done the same. Not being known by God. We've been the same. Okay, any last comments? That's what we want. That's what it. Okay.
CF said today, yes, in there, you know, he talked about Moses being on the mountain 40 days, not eating or drinking.
Yes.
And then compared it to being Jesus in the wilderness 40 days and not drinking, and, yeah, and was the Word. But he said Jesus was the better Moses.
Yes.
So, you know, this new Israel is the better Israel.
Yes. What do you think of that? Amen. Say amen. Yeah, right. Jesus is going through the second Exodus. And we've mentioned that for years in this class, but not many people use those words. But that's what, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's talking to Moses, Elijah. Yeah, Joseph. Okay, and what were they talking about? About his exodus, which he was about to accomplish. Yes, not his decease, not his departure. His exodus makes a lot better sense. 40 years worth, yep, to bring a new people into a new land, to live with Yahweh forever. Face to face? Yes, 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 yes. Oh man, you can study that from now on. Yes?
In the Old Testament, they were led by a pillar of fire at night. They have, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, you know, fire to lead them.
Yes, yes. Is that good? You could find so many of those that it's just so great. I mean, you know, yeah. Okay, all right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Oh, we just love you so much, and you revealed yourself, and you didn't just come in a body. I think, Father, you sent more into humanity. If you just embodied something, you already did that, but no, you had to take on the full humanity. Not fallen, but how it was, and is that just a little different, maybe? You had full humanity, not just in a flesh body. That wasn't the big deal. Truly, you separated through the death, and that's more than just dying physically. Well, let's ponder on that and just see to what depths you allowed yourself to become dead and then to save your people. And we bow before you. We hit the dirt in rejoicing and in adoration. In Jesus' name, amen.